thought it was your name.
Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith. And today we are joined by Marcy Doherty Elst and Eric Welch of Characters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Yeah. A little tired, gotta admit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Well, y'all did something fun last night. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so we entered a costume contest and we won.
We won.
Nice.
I was Maleficent, so I competed as Maleficent, my favorite Disney villain. I adore her. So that was super fun.
Nice.
Very cool.
Well, and that's actually why you're here today, is to talk about all of the cool things that y'all have been doing with makeup and hair and all of that. So, Eric, would you mind talking a little bit about Characters?
Yeah. So this company that I started about a year ago now.
Sounds about right, yeah.
About a year ago, and all because of Marcy, really.
Aww.
We were in Mary Poppins together at the Racine Theater Guild, and she was the villain of the show, and I did her hair and makeup, and then we were in The Little Mermaid together that following summer, and I did her makeup for that show. And during The Little Mermaid, I was like, well, I want to turn you into every Disney villain because this is amazing.
I like to tell people that it was my black heart that really touched him. And I think that's what he was drawn to is...
one of the things.
One of the things.
Awesome. And you've done pretty much just that. You've turned her into a bunch of villains.
Yeah, so this is like my current project right now is I am transforming her into all of these Disney villains. So, and I'm pretty much staying true to like what the characters are. Like for male characters, I'm not making her look sexy or womanly at all.
I mean, it still comes through the sex appeal, but it's very much of a male smolder.
Right.
Like,
well,
it's just, okay. She just can't turn, she can't turn it off, Eric.
I can't help it. Even this morning in my flannel. It's
just, I think we were talking about it before the show and you credit it all to Wendy's, right?
I do actually. Yeah. So the name Characters came from a conversation that Eric and myself and then my husband Christopher, who you guys know,
we
were going to Wendy's one day because I love Wendy's. You know, like, okay, Wendy's, holler back and like sponsor this show.
You should do Wendy.
Yeah.
Oh, I should.
You got red hair.
Yeah.
Do you think I could get a free burger if I did that?
That's
like really all I want out of it.
At the least.
Maybe a double. The double.
Yeah. Maybe they'll put two burgers on one.
I'll take a Frosty.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, if you do a good job, I could get a double cheeseburger out of it. But were going to Wendy's is a true story. And we were talking about this company he wanted to create in this project because he's also partnered with a photography and videography company, Traveling Lemur Productions, who's Theater Red's resident photographer and videographer. Yeah. And they're amazing. So we were talking about this project and we were saying, well, you really need to start your own company then and get a website and, you know, do a Facebook business, all that. And so we were kind of talking like, well, what should we call it? What should we call it? And Christopher just goes, well, duh, his name is Eric. Characters. And we were like, that's amazing. He's like, no, I was kidding. That was a joke. And we're like, no, using it.
I love that. Yeah.
But yeah, it happened in the car on the way to Wendy's.
It actually happened in Wendy's.
In Wendy's.
So
lots of love for Wendy's this morning.
Hey, thanks, Wendy's.
Thanks, Wendy's.
Thanks, Wendy. Well,
tag Wendy's?
We should tag Wendy's.
Yes.
I like Wendy's because as a person, well, so we're both vegan, and so it's they actually have a pretty solid. It is a regular stop for me. Not regular. It's been probably a month or something like that since I've last done this. But
been a month. I thought it's been longer than
probably.
That.
I don't really know. But I'll go through a month period where like every other day I'll get French fries, especially like if I'm like in a show and have to drive a lot for that show. But McDonald's fries their fries in beef fat, and it's super important to Wendy's that they make their French fries like accessible to folks that don't eat meat. So like that is super awesome to me, and I think that's kind of part of their like MO is this whole fresh, not frozen thing. Yeah, and I remember from when I did eat meat that you could like tell in the burgers. Yeah, it's Wendy's. Where's that sponsorship?
Yeah.
Clap
back, Wendy's.
Clap back. They do, though.
I know. Their social media folks are on fire.
They're so good. Anyway, all right.
Okay, I digress.
Yeah, this is all about Wendy's.
I took this way off track. So we have been, basically since the beginning of this year in 2017, doing a different villain every month, and we actually have them scheduled all the way through 2018. So we've done...
First was Cruella.
Cruella de Vil, with my own dogs featured in the photo shoot, because I, of course, have two Dalmatians, that was pretty fun.
Oh my god,
I missed that. See, alright, sorry, I should keep going.
No.
Well, that's something that's frustrating to me, is not about what you're doing is frustrating to me.
No. Right, no, I get it.
No, I am frustrated with arts, with the way that we are marketing arts things these days. Not by the folks that are marketing it, not by the people that are creating, but by the fact that we don't have the structures for it.
The hand that we're dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because you think as we move into a digital age, as we move into this like technology-driven space, you'd think that like, oh man, like it's so easy to get my makeup work seen on a bigger scale, but it's like
it's not
magazines are fading. Like, as a person who like knows a lot of photographers now and like has done some photography work, like the idea of doing a magazine cover, and as a person that like would potentially like our platform, like we could try and figure out a way to do covers and things like that, but there's no like way to make it all work as well. And I mean, you see it in text and articles stuff too. So anyway, I guess I'm kind of curious, like for y'all, like something that is so, the thing is that it's when you see it, it's so immediate and so gratifying as a consumer, I guess you can say, or like as an audience, that's like super awesome and super amazing. But like, how do you get it into like, in front of people's eyes, you know?
Yeah, I think that's where I was like, okay, I need to get this on Facebook. I need to get this on Twitter. I need to get this on Instagram.
You're working on a website.
Yes, working on a website. So I'm trying, and like, I'm trying to share the posts that I'm even posting. And that has been working out better than me just posting it on my Facebook page. I have to literally share that post then, and then it gets seen on people's feeds.
Yep.
Because not everybody has liked my page, which, I mean, I understand, like, I get a million notifications like my page, and it gets annoying, but it...
We also try to do a lot, I want to say sort of in the community. So every photo shoot that we do, we try to also do something out and about amongst people. So when we did Cruella de Vil, for example, we shot that at the beautiful Brumder mansion, and breakfast. They were so lovely to host us there. Mm-hmm. And Eric's got a bunch of pictures that he can show you guys too. But after we did the photos at the Brumder, we went to Matic and volunteered our time as part of their adoption drive. So I was in the adoption room with cats and dogs taking pictures. As Cruella de Vil. So that they could like market it as part of their adoption drive for animals. And I even took some photos with them at the front desk filling out a application where they had stamped a big denied stamp on it. And so we did fun stuff like that. Yeah. And that felt really good. So, you know, in addition to trying to put it out there in the virtual world, we're also trying to connect with people in the physical world.
Yeah.
A few weekends ago when we did Hocus Pocus,
We
did that shoot, like part of it in the downtown Wauwatosa. Mm-hmm. We did it at Jacobus Park, but then went to the farmer's market down like on State Street in downtown Tosa there. And so we walked around the farmer's market and took pictures with people and stopped at people's booths. And we had, you know, a lady say, you know, come over and take pictures with our flowers or come take pictures with our waffles. So we just try to also connect physically with people.
Yeah.
And people love it. They ask, you know, where can I see more of these photos? Do you have a card? And I think that's been as valuable to help getting just kind of the word out. Today, after we are done talking with you, I start my 2.5 hours in the hair and makeup chair to turn into Ursula. And then we're going to Children's Hospital to entertain the kids for Halloween and go visit with the kids in the room and do this program. So we will have Brianna Lepore, do Ariel, and I will be Ursula, and Eric will do Prince Eric. He normally doesn't put himself in the events because it's too much to do hair, makeup, and produce it.
But you kind of look like Prince
Eric. Yeah, just naturally.
Thank you.
Yeah. I kind of look like Ursula, too, if that works.
No, yeah, you've got that like poor unfortunate souls like I do.
But so we're gonna do that today. We've done a couple of children's birthday parties. Yeah. There are other, you know, we try to just kind of get out and about in the real world with people.
But when we do these photo shoots and you guys are out in these costumes, we get stopped nonstop.
For pictures. It's so fun.
It's crazy.
We also, when we did the Ursula photo shoot, we were at Discovery World, so we did like a 45-minute meet and greet in Discovery World with kids. So in exchange, they were so kind to let us come take photographs inside their aquarium. So we were like, hey, we will happily be at a place and time. You can make an announcement, do whatever you want. For 45 minutes straight, we had kids coming and taking pictures with us, and it was so fun. And then we went to the St. Paul Fish Market down at the Milwaukee Public Market, and they let me back behind the counter, and I was taking pictures with fish, and it was just super fun. So, whenever we can, we try to kind of get out and about and connect with people physically, and that's really gratifying, too, because I love when people are looking at me and the other models up close and just going like, oh my gosh. And you know, Eric's right there and he's so humble. He's always just standing there. He never says anything. I'm always like, this is the guy who did it. Isn't it amazing? Even last night at the costume contest, people were like, oh my gosh, look at that Maleficent. I'm like, it's all him. And so kind of the cool thing he does is everything is done with hair and wigs. So Maleficent, you know, she's got her famous horns.
Yeah.
I didn't wear horns. He took a wig and he styled the wig into these fabulous horns. I mean, it's amazing.
Wait, I want to see.
And like, that was one of the things where I was like, okay, if I'm going to do these characters, the whole thing is about wigs and makeup.
Oh my God.
So I want to make sure that I'm actually doing wigs on each of these characters to show that I can do that. Like, Jafar also has the famous turban, and I was like, well, that's a cop-out if I try and just use a turban, so I styled a wig to look like
a turban.
Jafar was fun. I like playing male characters or non-female characters.
Oh my God! Oh, and you shouted at the Tripoli Shriners.
We did. They were so kind to let us in.
They were.
That's where I had that's where I had my senior prom.
Really, it's beautiful. So, it's super fun. So I think in addition to trying to put things out there virtually, I think we also try to connect physically with people and be out and about wherever we can. And
there was when I still lived in Milwaukee, me and my friend Becca, we did for Valentine's Day, we did singing telegrams.
Okay.
And we partnered with a flower shop and we tried to do we tried to promote it beforehand, but like it just didn't work because of all of the roadblocks that marketing on social media provides. But once we were out, like singing for people, like we went to an elementary school to serenade a teacher and like all the school secretaries were like, oh my God, how much is a telegram? I need you to sing to my husband. Oh my God, how much is this? I need you to sing to my cousin. Like, and it was just like you experienced, it was about being out and about doing the thing, meeting the people.
Yep.
And that's what got us the most traction.
It feels a little old school where we're so digital and there are so many great virtual connections you can make. Your community is now so large.
Yeah.
But there's still something special about that old school, just face-to-face meeting with people and taking pictures and talking to them.
Well, and the thing is with the old school thinking of it, it never stops working.
Right.
Whereas the thing with, like, when you look at social media marketing, in a lot of cases, the folks that are making platforms, I mean, short of, like, pretty much Google and, like, any Google, like, YouTube, like, the thought process of a lot of the platforms outside of that is, how do we make it so that we are making money from the people that are using our platform? And so, like, for Facebook, for Pages, for example, there have been, like, articles that are coming out in the last couple months that are showing that as they're trying to push, I mean, as a person who has, and both of you know this, as a person that has a Facebook page, you know that they're giving you a notification daily to be like, if you boost this post, you can reach 2,000 people or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in that, what that is... like, what is implied and inherent in that is that Facebook is then downplaying and, like, burying, to some extent, the posts that you're making. And that is the way that, and a lot of, excuse me, sorry, a lot of these apps function in this way. Instagram very much does, too. Even a lot of blog platforms do. And then some of them are just less known. But the thing is with something like, you can't ignore or bury something that exists in a space. So when you go to, when you do the old school thinking of, let's market this and go to a crowded event, like, mm-hmm. there's no burying that. There's no hiding that. That's, and I think that that's, you know, as it's really alluring to be like, oh, we'll do this and then it'll go viral. It's like, we're not there. It's short of like stupid YouTube videos or something like that. There's not much, weirdly in a digital age, there isn't much room for that because there's been so much trying to build up of these lattices and structures that don't allow for that to happen.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, weirdly.
So, I mean, I think it's a combination of the two things. And,
yeah.
you know, this is sort of a, it's very much a passion project for characters, for Eric, and even Traveling Lemur, who does the photographs, and myself as the villain model. But, I mean, I get the best job in the world.
Yeah.
I get to dress up as all these amazing characters, and I love villains, and I get to do things like, coming up we'll be doing Beauty and the Beast for this photo shoot series, and I am going to be Gaston, not sexy female Gaston, male, square jaw, handsome as heck looking Gaston, and I'm gonna look great as a man, I think. You know, I'm in his hands.
I mean,
so
you already have looked great as a man.
Even as an animal, like as Scar, I mean, that's a pretty good looking male lion. I'm just saying, if you're a Leo, like, ugh.
I'm wondering what led y'all to the decision to go toward androgyny in terms of, not androgyny as like Marcy is androgynous, but like,
but that's fair too.
Yeah. But you're not. You look very feminine. And so the idea of like, was it like the challenge of taking someone who looks very feminine and like bending that to look more masculine, or was it just like Marcy out of the equation? You wanted to have a blank palette.
I think it was a little bit of both. It was I want to stay true to like the characters, and then I also wanted to like test my skills. Like, can I change the face of this woman to look like a man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And can I change her body to look like a man? So it was kind of like a mix of both. Like, I don't want to do what every other female does on Halloween and makes a sexy version of Scar, for example, or whatever.
Sexy Scar.
A sexy Scar, whatever.
Although it happened by accident anyway. Do you see the smolder in that photo? I'm calling that,
okay,
Serengeti smolder. Like,
but you look like a man. So, I think that's what I am liking about this, is I am constantly challenging myself with trying to get her to look like all of these different characters.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also neat to say, you know, to be able to line up all these photos that we've done so far. People look at them and they say, that's not Marcy. That's not Marcy. Even the mm-hmm. photographers, they go, that, I really didn't think that was Marcy, even though I took the photo. Right? Like,
yeah.
How do you take this one person and just through makeup, wigs, costume, make them look so different? But also, like, to me, I think it's a great way in our modern time to challenge the way we think about male and female roles in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me on stage, like, that's really important to me, is it doesn't really matter, you know, if you can portray the character, it should not matter necessarily in all cases, whether or not you yourself are male or female. If I can portray a male character and look like a male character, sing like a male character, talk like one, why shouldn't I as a female be able to do that? And vice versa. I mean, certainly there's that line. You don't want to be taking roles away from men or roles away from women. But I think it's an interesting thing in our modern time to think about the fluidity of that.
For sure. And so the thing that really makes me think a lot about is the more and more we talk to folks that are creating, and the more we talk to folks that are like, I just want to do this project to challenge myself, to, you know, to like build a niche that I think needed to be filled. It's interesting to me how then these projects in and of themselves kind of become like an advanced lesson in the art form, you know, where like in a lot of ways, like potential. And I mean, I think that there is obviously for the layman, like there's a lot to get from these photos. Like there's a big sense of like, of, getting it. And there isn't, that's kind of the beauty of it. In fact, is that for the art, like there isn't a learning curve to appreciating how well done, like a Hocus Pocus homage of it is, you know what I mean? But I also think that, it's interesting, kind of the, like, finer points of, like, some of the wig work is, like, advanced wig work for, like, and that potentially has, you know, when you take that brass tacks and you just kind of look at the pieces of that artistically, someone could say that it would be hard for someone to get that without having wig experience, or like get the amount of work and the difficulty of like expression. It's like almost the equivalent to like expressionism in painting, where it's like people don't get the idea that folks that were like just making brushstrokes on a painting there's much more to like what the artist is trying to say there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of curious as we work with all of these different art forms and start talking to folks that are working on these kind of projects that are advanced, almost extrapolations of where the art form came from, like with makeup, like the idea of it starting from a theater tradition. And I would love to hear more about like, the history of like makeup and wig making and kind of its inception and development and all that stuff. But I'm also really curious about as we get into these kind of, where the projects start becoming like, the nuances are so rich and they become these kind of like advanced extrapolations, like how does communication work to that end, if that makes sense? Like, do you find that as you're talking to, once you kind of get folks hooked on the idea of what it is that the work that you're doing, are there roadblocks to, as far as like helping people to, understand the nuances of the work that you're doing, if that makes sense?
Well, I think one thing that's cool is we have makeup tutorial videos that accompany the transformations. So from kind of... Yeah, so it's sort of like from a documentation, but also kind of a teaching standpoint, right? Is sort of like, this is what we use. And, you know, speaking of another sponsorship, NYX, if you're listening, we use a ton of your makeup.
NYX,
so,
we love you.
So, mm-hmm. You know, send some our way. Yeah. But so these makeup tutorials really start from me like this, barefaced, and really go into all the contouring and the layering and all of the other things that you do, including, you know, on the neck and, you know, mm-hmm. just all of the things that occur to my face. And so that's kind of cool, too, to be able to say, like, oh, hey, I'm going to watch this tutorial, and this is how he turned her into Ursula. So to me, I think that's kind of – some people will find that really fascinating, and other people won't. But, you know, you connect with people and sort of based on what their different interests might be. And I think you would even say, Eric, that sometimes you sit down, like with Scar, you were like, I'm not really sure how this is going to work. But we do practice makeup. It doesn't just happen day of magically.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
he's
no.
very gifted, but mm-hmm. he, you know, he sits down and he draws out and he sketches and he thinks about what it's going to look like. And obviously he knows my face well enough now to know how
but
to cover it.
it's still difficult when you're trying to make a human face look like a lion. I was struggling with that makeup so much. It's so interesting because you see it in your head and you can like see how it's going to look, and then while you're doing it, it's like not working. And
well, you're trying to take a two-dimensional image and place it on a three-dimensional object.
For sure.
So it doesn't work the same way. It's like, oh, well, that doesn't look like the way it should look because my face is not flat,
right?
Kind of thing.
So, have you ever used prosthetics?
I haven't with this series yet, and I don't know if I want to because I think that's kind of the whole.
You were thinking of it
thing.
A little bit for
I
the
was,
hag.
I was, but now I'm kind of thinking like that should be my challenge. I should make it look like you have. Okay. These prosthetics when you don't even need them if you can achieve the goal by just using makeup.
Yeah, we didn't use any prosthetics for Scar, for example. And if you look at the photos, it does look like I have a flat lion's nose. And that's just all makeup and shading, which is kind of cool.
Wow.
Can
yeah.
I see it?
Yeah.
We only have one photo from the official photographers released, but that's me as Scar.
Whoa.
Holy crap.
See what I'm talking about? Serengeti Smolder, okay?
Yeah. No, we need to... Yeah.
We're going
to
publish some of these photos along with
Well, if, at this point, I know for sure now that Josh Smith is going to be listening. So first, hello, Josh. I'm working on this project now where we're reaching out to folks that we know that are potentially, like, very gifted transcribers.
Ooh.
Because there's too many podcast episodes I don't want to do it. and we have the budget to like reach out to people to do it. So what we're looking to start doing is turning most, if not all, of our podcast episodes of interviews with other folks into like basically articles.
Oh,
and
fun.
So
so you can have lots of pictures posted with it.
Yeah, we'll talk more details about like how that can all look and everything. But yeah, hello, Josh. Anyway,
but I think am I wrong? But like since starting, you know, really working with me one-on-one with these, like in January, haven't you really sort of grown your own skills and your own confidence? And like you have different ideas,
gosh.
You know, just,
yes,
it feeds itself. Creativity feeds itself.
I mean, before I even started any of this, my makeup skills were probably like minimal.
I wouldn't say minimal. I mean,
it was pretty. I had no experience.
Yeah, but
with,
you
like,
you
doing
have a license.
Makeup.
You're a
I am a licensed cosmetologist, but they don't like teach you how to do theatrical makeup or how to transform somebody into different characters. So, like, I basically taught myself how to do this, and I mean, I am an artist, so. Seeing, like, colors and shapes is, I mean, that comes naturally. So it just seemed, it all just kind of, like, comes to me when I do these.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have so many, like, practice tests, like, hair and makeup with this. And even wigs. I didn't even have that much experience with wigs, and I still don't feel like I am an expert on wigs in general. But because I don't want to say forcing, but I keep like forcing myself and testing myself to work with all types of wigs and styling them. I'm learning so much about what I can do.
Mm.
It's really awesome.
Well, and we've also had a great deal of fun because in addition to the hair and the makeup, you do also need to honor the character through costume. And we don't typically copy the costume exactly. We take a modern sort of interpretation, but in some cases we really do try to copy it. So Hocus Pocus, you know, we really did.
That's because that is what people want.
Right.
You can't stray from...
Right.
No, absolutely.
But, like, the collaboration, so we've worked... So Bob Benson has created some of my costumes, which are amazing. Caitlin Rogers, who is costumed for Theater Red, has created some of my costumes. But a lot of it is us doing some of the other minor costuming pieces and us doing the props. So the book that we made for the Hocus Pocus shoot, we did that. We, you know, creatively spent a couple days like, how are we going to make this book? Jafar's
oh
staff.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's been,
what?
Isn't that fun? Yeah. So you know what that is? That is paper towel. So we got a book from Goodwill and it's paper towel with Mod Podge, just like really wet. And so you use it and make those creases and then you let it dry and then there's some paint and clay and that kind of thing. But
right.
So it's been so fun. Jafar's staff, Maleficent's staff, like costumes, crafts, and collaborating with the costume artists has been super fun. And then our photographers are huge Disney fans, so they always have really great ideas for shots. So it's just, it's become sort of a collaboration, which makes it even richer and even more fun.
So that's leads me to my next question of, is this a... purely a labor of love, or are you hoping to turn this into like a thing?
I mean, currently it is a labor of love. But because of all of these pictures and posts, lots of people have been reaching out to me. So I am getting hired by theaters and high schools to do hair and makeup for their shows. which is awesome. But like, if Disney would ever want to contact me.
So that's fine. He does travel with his own villain, though, so, you know, have villain, we'll travel. But, I mean, we've also had this great idea to, on your website when you get, I mean, we've just been so busy, you know, it's so hard to keep on top of everything,
sure.
But to create sort of like a blog series that will have the tutorial video, the photos, talk about how we made some of the props, just talk about the process. And that would lend itself possibly in the future to other things that might be interesting. You know, maybe it could make a cool book. Maybe it's a cool ebook. Maybe it's an interesting collection of makeup tutorials. We don't really know mm-hmm. what it will be, but, you know, he just had a BuzzFeed article about his work, which is super cool.
I was just going to say, like, this is like BuzzFeed fodder.
Yeah. So yeah, I was just on BuzzFeed with a couple of my pictures. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did it get a lot of hits?
I don't really know. I mean, I shared it on Facebook.
I can't remember the last time we looked.
I know. I don't know. I like she said, we have been so busy because literally we're doing like a villain every month, and it's a lot more work than people think.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's another thing. People will see these pictures and then come up to me and go, oh my gosh, you need to make me like this person. Or another person will come up to me and go, oh my gosh, my favorite villain is Maleficent. You should transform me into that. And I don't think people realize that Marcy actually puts a ton of work into these photo shoots. She's not just there being the model.
Yeah.
She is the one organizing the whole photo shoot in general, like the dates, times, places. I am basically just the creative end of it, where I'm like, this is what I want to do, Marcy. Let's make it happen.
And how important is that, like, level, that compatibility, companion, the partnership of that aspect, you know, like, that's how important. I have an answer, and I keep trying to not answer my own question. But, like, how, as a creative, as a person who, getting to, like, what does getting to focus on it mean to you?
What do you mean?
Like,
so, like, you don't have to deal with, like, so I arranged the venues, and I've been very fortunate that I've been able to convince people to let us use their spaces for free, because we're not getting paid for this. Although there are some places interested in showcasing your work, the photography,
mm-hmm.
so that could lead to some sales, which would be cool. But right mm-hmm. now we're putting our own money into the wigs and costumes and makeup, and we're not getting any money, right? So I have to negotiate with places to let us in for free. And so he doesn't have to deal with any of that. He
right.
says, these are the places I want to shoot, and I do my darndest to make that happen. And then
well,
I take
you've
care
been
of,
successful.
So far.
So far.
Yeah.
So.
But so I think, you know, like, you don't have to worry about any of the business side or the production side. You just get, like, so what is it like to not have to worry about that? Because you also have your own theater company.
It's,
and you know what it's like to
nice to not have to worry about it, but at the same time, there's so much on my end that I
for
am
sure.
worrying about.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to my question is the idea that, to what you were saying, like, it could seem like, oh, this is all one person's work. And it's like, no, like, so many of the things that you know and love, so many of the projects that, not just you, just people in general, that people know and love, are not, they're never one person being like, I'm doing all of the work, and this is just me, and, like, it's always this, you know, and being the artistic vision and having that fullness and thoroughness of detail is, like, key and crucial, but in a lot of ways, it's usually, like, a group or a partnership of folks that are both able to get all of the details of everything that they do, and in that way, that's how you get then one project, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, it's, that's always so interesting, because that's something that, thinking about communication and communicating the how, like, because we think a lot about, like, trying to figure out how to communicate the process for these things, communicating what it really takes to build and to create something, and I think that, too, what you were saying about, because of course, if you could work with everyone, you probably would, but the fact, the question is, can you, you know, like, can you like, realistically work with someone that isn't also able to bring so much of what Marcy envisioned, and not to just, like, specifically, I'm not, like, trying to, like, lift Marcy up onto a giant pedestal.
Oh, well, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, like, we can go down that path.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, I lost the question, but...
No, I think, so we're really good friends, and we live right next door to each other now also. So it's, like, such a, like, we spend a lot of time together, we have very similar thoughts, we understand each other in a very good way, but we have totally different skills when it comes to characters, right? So I've got sort of the business experience from Theater Red that I can bring into producing the aspects of the shoot so that he can focus on the creative things. And we do bring other models into the shoot sometimes for complementary characters. For so sure. We've been able to use some other folks that way. But, you know, like, I feel bad sometimes because people say, oh, well, I wish I could be Maleficent. And I'm like, well, she's my favorite, so you're not going to take her. But also, like you were saying, Daniel, people don't realize how much work goes into creating. So these 15 photos you're going to see are 15 from hundreds, or not, if not thousands, from the day. Mm-hmm. And how many hours went into the costumes, the venue, the transportation, the wig, the makeup, the how much work goes into creating that one image. And I think sometimes there's this idea, and maybe I even had this idea too before I was the one sitting in the chair, that like, oh, I just get to show up and I sit in this chair and people touch my hair and my face and it feels wonderful, because it does. It's great to have somebody touching your hair and your face. It's so relaxing. And so I just get to do this, and then these people make these amazing photos and it's done. But there's a lot of work that goes into just those few images that people see and react to. And
it's a long process. I mean, some mornings we've gotten up at 5:30, 6 o'clock to start a photo shoot that's going to last
3 hours.
3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's super fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's so fun for me. And also as an actor, I get to bring sort of the characters to life. So yeah. I get to embody these different people more than just, like, it's also on me as the actor to embody these villains. I can't just be myself in the makeup. I have to. So
and that's,
I do ridiculous
that's another thing.
Things.
Like, I don't know if I could take anybody and turn them into these characters, because she really does bring them to life. You can't just have somebody looking like a character and not portraying the character.
It's my black heart again. It all comes back to like that darkness inside of me that he was drawn to. He's like, I see this. I'm gonna use it.
Well, and I think it's, I think what's really interesting is I keep thinking about, so for me, I know that like, this is the battle that I'm doing right now is how do I communicate the thought that I'm trying to have, which is a thing that I'm finding myself wanting to ask artists and ask advanced practice artists more and more is, as I figure out how to communicate it, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. And so as a person who runs an arts magazine, my focus is mostly content. And what I mean by that is like, it's very detailed, figuring out structures of articles, figuring out formatting, figuring out structures of podcasts, doing the podcast editing, all of this stuff is like extremely intensive in a very similar way to what I imagine it would be to develop the structures and figuring out how makeup works and figuring out how to build these wigs and the similar way that like somebody you can compare it. If you take it to that kind of a level, you can compare it to so many different things. But I can't do that without something that is extremely communicated, which is this kind of building an infrastructure idea.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of having a person that emails and sets up the venues and sets up things that, you know, in theater companies have been building and communicating and figuring out how best to communicate to other people how well it is that their organizations work for years and years. Like, it's just been I think it's been an undercurrent of conversation for folks that once you start administrating a project, that's the first thing you start asking people about. It's like, how do you do this? And I think what's interesting to me is that attention to detail is what got me into really trying to understand the creative process and understand. But, you know, you get into things that are harder to find jargon for, find ways to explain them. And so it's important to me when we start talking with like partnerships and kind of like collaborative groupings to realize that these things are so compartmentalized. And then you can go like, okay, here are the lines to which some, like, to which you need Marcy, to which you need this. And then this is where the lines of what I'm doing meet with where what Marcy's doing. And then from those different outpourings of creative energy that meet in the middle, that meeting in the middle is what creates the product, I guess is the word. But yeah. It's it's so hard and like weird to think about, because that's basically what we're trying to do, is think about how do we communicate all of these aspects of process, you know. And so my the initial question of, you know, what it is that I'm really glad for the, it's like almost a two-part question I'm realizing now in this moment of what it is that Marcy does that brings to the table. But then from what Marcy does, what does that allow you to be able to do?
I mean, if Marcy didn't bring to the table what she has been bringing, these photos would not look the way that they do. I mean, they would not have the costume pieces. They wouldn't have the venues. I mean, it would literally just be then a headshot of the wig and the makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Where now they are so stylized. And it's because of Marcy that I even met Traveling Lemur Productions. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you basically have provided everything to make these pictures look the way they do.
I don't know about all that.
Well, seriously, but like, I'm just the creative one, and I'm the one that transforms you, but you're the source of making the pictures look the way they do. I mean, it's because of you that we got into Discovery World and that we got the Brumder Mansion, and it's awesome. And I mean, you look at the pictures and you think, well, there's no way you could even do that shoot without Cruella de Vil in the bed looking at the newspapers, or the Hocus Pocus shoot in, you know, the Tosa Village, or Jafar in the
Triple I.
I mean,
beautiful place.
Without the whole, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess.
I think that's the amazing thing to me about what I'm keep finding myself wanting to ask are these questions that to people that it's hard to put into words what it is, because it's hard to put into words. Because like, how often do you, like, the things that I think we realize are like really valuable creative endeavors are things that like we've discovered on our own in private, and like being like, oh, able to, like, we think that because we're having the thoughts of what it is that we're making, that these things are things that we're able to communicate easily. But it's like, they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, you thought of them in your head. You haven't necessarily put into words all of the thoughts that you've had on a project. It's super interesting to me.
Well,
sorry, yeah.
And so what I'm getting from all this is like, it's kind of like when two people have a baby. Like if the woman had a baby with another man, the baby would be a different person. If it had been another woman, the baby would be a different person. Like, and that's the same thing with artistic endeavors. Like if Eric had collaborated with another model, you know, perhaps that model would have brought something different to the thing and it would be a different animal. Or if Marcy mm-hmm. had found, you know, if Marcy were collaborating with a makeup artist that had an interest in, you know, not Disney villains, but in just like, you know, grotesque bodily, deformities, then you would be reaching out to local medical institutions and like, you know, mm-hmm. doing, so it's like, the fact that
person A and person B came together and created something new, it has to do with what person A and person B have in their toolbox.
Yeah.
And it's, and like, you know, characters and these, the end products, like Marcy in the bed with the newspaper looking like Cruella de Vil, would not exist were it not for Eric having the makeup expertise and Marcy being gregarious as hell. So,
well, it's sometimes when I think about it too much, it starts to make my brain get really fuzzy. Like if you start to try to think about how big the universe is and you just go, I can't, right? But, or I, you know, my small brain can't. But this idea of
Boo.
I'm booing myself.
You.
No, I'm booing myself.
No. She wanted you to put her on that pedestal,
no,
and then
I've
she's
spent
like
enough
notching
time up there.
It down.
No, yeah. I spent some time up there. This idea of had we not done Mary Poppins together 2.5 years ago, this would not exist today. And of all the, like, all of the great, wonderful experiences, and then, like, the fun things we've been able to do out in the community, and today being able to go to Children's Hospital and entertain the kids in costume and go visit some kids in their room, and, you know, just all, none of that would happen. And so you think about that, like, that chance meeting and that chance connection of, you know, like, hey, Eric is a makeup artist, so he's going to work on the villain makeup for Miss Andrew, and just, like, how we connected, and then how we became such good friends.
But, like, it didn't even happen like that.
Did I change it in my mind?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, gosh. Are you going to tell the story of how I was raised?
How we
first
met? I love this story, because I know Marcy's aunt, Betty Peterson, and she had talked Marcy up, and I was like, well, I cannot wait to meet Marcy. She sounds amazing. She sounds like a person I want to know. And the first singing rehearsal that we had for Mary Poppins, I went up to Marcy, and I was like, oh my gosh, hi, it's nice to meet you. And she looked up from her binder and went, hi, and then went right back down into her music.
Because I work at rehearsal.
And that was it. And I thought, wow. This person is a witch. I do not want to get to know this person.
But it was that planted that seed of the dark heart. No, I am very hard to get to know in a rehearsal process because I tend to kind of be like working and heads down. But once I was lifted my head out of my book, then, you know.
Once she knew that I had talent, then it was like, no, I'm kidding.
I was like, oh, okay.
No, but then it kind of happened where...
So we hired you for Theater Red, then to do the makeup for Bachelorette, and that's mm-hmm. how you met the hair and makeup for Bachelorette, and that's how you met Traveling Lemur.
But right. I think that was after Little Mermaid.
Was it after Little Mermaid? Okay. Well, I have the timelines wrong. I'm an old person compared to you.
I don't know. It's all kind of like a blur now.
It is. But, you know, like, the other really cool thing is, so I often, like, admittedly, when you see these pictures, I don't have the creative ideas for the shots. Maybe like one good idea has come out over the last 8 months. But usually I'm like, how about I do this thing on this rock? And they humor me. And they're like, okay. And then they're like, okay, let's go over here. But it's Eric and Traveling Lemur, really. Nate and Maria have a lot of really great ideas for how to stage these pictures. So the two of them, like, I'm not involved in that piece of it at all. They collaborate and kind of storyboard out shots. And they both come with things that are sort of iconic images and then sort of what would be some interesting ways to use the space. So once they've decided, like, usually the three of us talk about spaces, but again, I'm the one in charge of getting the space after they've picked it. So really, like, your creative outlet on that is really mostly with Lemur. I don't have very good ideas. I do stuff like, how about if I hold this fish? Like, and they're like, okay, you hold the fish.
Like, okay, Marcy.
And then I was like, oh, it's like so heavy. It was like 35 pounds, this picture of me with the fish.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, they edited it to look like flounder.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
But,
that's a big fish. Anyway, that's a momentous day.
That was, yeah, very random. But,
but I mean, you get creative energy from Nate and Maria as that side that doesn't really
yes,
come from me.
Yes, and I'm, like, super grateful for them because by the time of the photo shoot, I am, like, exhausted and tired and just want to go home and go to bed. But they have such great ideas, and they usually, like, watch the Disney movies beforehand, so they have so many ideas of, like, what was in the movies that they want to kind of either,
honor
honor or replicate or mm-hmm. whatever. And they come up with these amazing ideas for these photos, and they turn out so well.
But, like, you connect with different people and sort of re-energize and get those juices, and then somehow that all comes into the blender called Characters and creates these great shots. Even the customers you work with, Bob Benson and Caitlin Rogers, mm-hmm. like, they get you, and they get what you want to do. And also, they're, like, they're both really familiar with my figure, because I'm a curvy lady.
Mm-hmm.
And they costume me to look great, not frumpy. Mm-hmm. You know, they accentuate curves, and they don't shy away from the fact that I'm not model thin, right? I'm not what would be called a clothes right. horse. You can't just put anything on me and have it look good. So they really do go, well, we're going to costume her and show off her assets. And Bob and Caitlin do a really great job of making me feel amazing instead of frumpy because I'm not thin.
So, yeah, as a fellow curvy, larger woman, it's like, that's such a gift, and it's such mm-hmm. it's such an asset to have in your life of like this is a person who I know, who I trust to make me look fantastic.
Absolutely.
And as a person who looks like this, I know that visually I have value. There are paintings, there are, you know, entire eras of paintings that can prove that my body has value.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a matter of finding the folks who are willing to do the work to, mm-hmm. to make that happen.
Well, so. It's really, as an actor, I have this thing too. Like if I'm in a costume that I don't feel great about, it's hard for me sometimes to feel confident and feel yeah. great on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So costuming I think is important, and maybe that's my own actor deficiency. Maybe other actors would go, that doesn't matter, do the performance. But it affects me probably because I'm curvy.
Right.
And, I don't get to wear clothes as easily as other girls do. But I also get to wear clothes differently than other girls do because I have curves that I can show.
Right.
And the confidence that it's so empowering and makes you feel so magnificent that it really helps me have a ton of fun with the character. And yeah. they do an amazing, amazing job of costuming my particular figure. Yeah. So.
Cool. Well, we have a few minutes left. So as you know, the last thing we do with all of our guests is a 1 minute plug for anything they have upcoming. Sometimes that can be obvious, like plugging a place where people can find your work. Or it can also be, you know, we like hearing about self-care things like books and TV shows and movies and stuff like that.
Or other people who are doing rad yes. art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started a theater company with Brianna Lepore called Untitled Productions, and we will be having our first fundraiser, benefit this next year in January.
Awesome. Cool. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
You're going to announce really your season.
We will be announcing our first
big
season.
Review.
Yeah. It's
Yay.
Cool.
Another big endeavor I'm deciding to go down.
Where can people find information about Untitled?
Facebook, Instagram, all. We have a website.
Cool.
So
it's Untitled Productions.
Untitled Productions. Yeah.
.com.
I believe that's it.
Perfect.
Wow, I should know that.
That's okay. You've got a couple other things going on.
Yeah.
All right. And this particular week is really busy. He is, within a week span, he's transforming me into 5 different villains.
Oh, yikes.
I'm doing 2 today, actually. So after Ursula, I will wash all that off, and I will do someone else for tonight.
Winifred nice. Sanderson.
Yeah. Hocus Pocus Winifred returns tonight to
nice.
The streets of Milwaukee. So I get to walk around saying, oh, look, another glorious morning. Makes me sick. So, which I will say all night. So
yeah.
get
Can't
ready
wait.
For that.
Can't
so, well, we actually are in a show together over the holidays. So we're
yes.
in Beauty and the Beast at sunset.
Nice.
So that will be super fun. So I'm looking forward to being back on stage with this guy. But before that, in November, Kelly Doherty, Ryan Kappelman, and myself have our Doherty Sisters Cabaret returning
cool.
to Villa Terrace on November 20th, so that's fun.
Ooh, Villa Terrace.
Back by popular demand what? At Villa Terrace. So it is slightly revamped, so if people have seen the Doherty Sisters, the Full Frontal Doherty and everything else, if they've seen that, if they've seen that one, it is that one, but we've revamped it a little bit to tell a little bit more of Ryan's story and how he has become the official third Doherty sister. So the name change paperwork is, it's going to be Kappelman Doherty. He needs to be a Doherty, you know.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. but we're working on that. But we're telling, we have 8 new songs, which is like 1/3 of our set is new. So we should start rehearsing those since the show is on the 20th. But we're telling more of Ryan's story and so about how he became a Doherty sister. So if you've seen it, come back and see it again because you're going to see some old favorites, of course, but also you'll hear a little bit more about Ryan's journey as a Doherty girl.
Nice. Cool. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith.
If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways that you can do that. First off, you can head to scopymag.com. That's our website. You can find all of our articles there. Our homepage has our most recent podcast episode, as well as some YouTube videos and stuff like that. You can find us in all the social media places on Facebook. That's Scopy Magazine on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Google Play, and iTunes Podcast.
Also, Radio Public.
And Radio Public. Shout out Radio Public. We were just chosen as an indie podcast to watch on the podcast platform Radio Public. We've apparently brought them a ton of traffic. So, great.
So, thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out. Yeah, cool. So we're under all those places. We are under Scopy Mag, S-C-A-P-I-M-A-G is how we spell it.
And as always, I'm here to emphasize the importance of donations. We run on a shoestring budget. Everything that we've been able to do up to this point has been through your generosity. So first of all, thank you so much. Second of all, we could use a little more help. If you're in a position to give, you can head to our website, scopymag.com, head to our About section. There are a couple ways that you can give. You can give on a one-time basis, and if you choose to do that, you will have our eternal gratitude. If you choose to give on a monthly level, some cool things will happen. First of all, our next 2 donors at any level will receive a bag of half-wit coffee. At $10 a month, you'll receive 1 free session per month of studio photography with Daniel in our space. Mm-hmm. And at $25 a month or above, you'll be a part of our affiliate program. We're grateful to our donors at every level, but our affiliates are individuals, businesses, and organizations who support our mission of uplifting local arts and independent media at a higher level. We believe that such generosity during this time deserves recognition, so our affiliates will be featured on our website with a link to their website or social media as a means of advertisement and will receive a Scopy affiliate window sticker. So, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks again so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.